Willy Wormsley, Superhero Binaural Splice, copyright 2005 by Michael L. Cope, audiobook copyright 2026, all rights reserved. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used in any other way without prior written permission from the copyright holder. For inquiries, use the contact information at neuralsplice.com, neuralsplice.com.
Barely Tuesday morning, and Willy Wormsley already longed to fast forward the school year into summer vacation. His morning began as usual, the alarm clocks blaring, the panicked search for his left shoe inevitably lost beneath the far side of his bed. He stumbled out the front door of his house, his backpack sagged with the weight of textbooks he hadn't opened. His untied shoelaces flapped, and his hair spiked out in three different directions. On the walk to school, he rehearsed excuses for his unfinished math homework again.
The dog ate it? I got abducted by aliens? Nah, I was too busy saving the world to do long division.
He snorted at the thought, as if anyone would believe that. Townsfield Middle School was a two-story brick eyesore that looked like it was originally designed as a prison. The hallways were a maze of flickering fluorescent lights and the chemical smell of disinfectant. The peeling paint of the walls were plastered over with posters for Spirit Week, the upcoming science fair, and a reminder that bullying is not cool, an ideal he personally knew was not upheld. Willie's first class of the day was pre-algebra with Mrs. Henderson, a woman whose Coke bottle glasses magnified his dread. Her teaching style was to ambush students at random for embarrassment in front of the class. Willy had learned to make himself as small as possible. Today, however, his luck had run out. He walked to her desk and handed in his homework. She peered at him over the rim of her glasses.
Care to explain why problem number 7 is blank?
His stomach somersaulted. He'd rushed to finish and must have overlooked the question.
My pencil fell off my desk and got sucked into a black hole.
Mrs. Henderson exhaled, a sigh exhausted by the weight of countless fibs she'd heard over the years.
Willy, if you don't start applying yourself, you're going to fail my class, and if you fail, you won't be able to move on to algebra next year.
Willie's face burned. Math was already a foreign language to him. Algebra compounded the torment by introducing letters and demanding he treat them like numbers. As he slunk back into his seat, he caught the eye of Bobby Rufnicki, class bully and all-around menace. Bobby was built like a linebacker, with a buzz cut, a permanent scowl, and a habit of accidentally knocking people into lockers. He sneered at Willie, a slow, predatory grin that made Willie's butt cheeks clench. Willy was starving and was thankful for the lunch bell sounding. He'd skipped breakfast, and his stomach rumbled loud enough to drown out the cafeteria noise. He loaded a tray mystery meatloaf, cold gray mashed potatoes, and a side of canned green beans, and scanned the room for a place to sit. The cafeteria was a minefield of unspoken, rigid social hierarchies. Jocks commanded the long tables by the windows, tossing footballs over people's heads and laughing obnoxiously. Nerds cloistered in the corner, debating Dungeons and Dragons lore and trading comic books. The popular girls held court at the center tables, their laughter tinkling like wind chimes. The fine arts kids doodled on their napkins, recited Shakespeare, and pretended not to care that no one understood them. Willy didn't belong to any of the groups. Too uncoordinated for the jocks, too unintelligent for the nerds, and too dweebish for the popular kids. He was just Willy. The kid who tripped over his own feet blushed when teachers called on him and spent most of his time being invisible to them all. He ducked into a quiet corner to eat in peace. Or at least he tried to. A voice sneered behind him.
Well, 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 if it isn't wee Willy Wormsley.
Bobby Rufnicki, of course. The bully plopped down beside him, his tray piled high with enough food to feed a small army.
You're sitting in my spot, Wormy.
Willie's heart pounded.
I didn't know this was your spot.
It is now.
Bobby leaned in, his breath smelling like tater tots and bad decisions.
Hand over your lunch money.
Willie's face burned. He craved a comeback so brutal that Bobby would regret existing. Instead, he squeaked.
I already spent it, see?
Willie lifted his hands empty, and Bobby flinched.
Keep your hands away from me. I haven't forgotten what you did last week, sicko.
With a smirk, he shoved a finger up each nostril and then jammed them into Willie's mashed potatoes.
Pathetic,
he scoffed before sauntering off. Willie sighed, poking at his meatloaf with his fork.
Pathetic.
That was the word that seemed to follow him everywhere. Pathetic at sports, pathetic at math, pathetic at standing up for himself. By the time the bell rang for the last class of the day, Willie was more than ready to go home. At home, he could escape to his room, read a comic book, and forget that this day had ever happened. But first, he had to stop by his locker to grab his history textbook. He was fishing around in his locker when he smelled the odor of tater tots. A beefy hand slammed into his back, shoving him into the locker. The door slammed shut behind him, and suddenly, Willie was crammed inside, his knees pressed against his chest, his backpack digging into his spine. The locker reeked of gym socks and despair.
Enjoy your new home, Wormsy,
Bobby said, his voice muffled through the metal door.
Next time I ask for money, you better have some.
Willie heard Bobby's laughter fade down the hallway while he tried to wiggle free. The locker was too small, and his arms were pinned to his sides, stuck with no way out.
This is it. This is how I die, trapped in a locker, forgotten by the world.
The final bell for class rang. On top of everything, when he got free, he was going to have to explain, in front of the entire class, why he was late. Again. Then something impossible happened. There was a loud pop and a flash of light. Willie Wormsley wasn't inside the locker anymore. He instantly found himself seated in a plush, high-backed executive chair. A spotlight shone on him. In the shadows, he could barely make out six hooded figures seated at a long table.
Willie Wormsley, welcome to the inner sanctum.
Willie held a hand up to block out the glare of the spotlight and squinted towards the table.
Hi. What happened to me? Where am I?
We have pulled you from your dimension into our parallel dimension. We need your help.
In echoing, dramatic tones that filled the room, the voice said,
That is why we brought you here.
Willie looked around, trying to find the television cameras. Surely this was a prank.
If this is a joke, it isn't funny. Who are you people? Why are you picking on me? I'm just a kid.
We are the Society of Watchers. We recruit people to be superheroes in our dimension of Metropolis.
Trumpets blared when she said Metropolis. Stop that. I'm trying to narrate.
Metropolis? Cool. So I'm going to learn how to fly and shoot beams from my eyes?
It doesn't work that way. Superpowers are something you already have. In Metropolis, they become activated.
But I don't have any superpowers. I can't run fast, leap tall buildings, or lift cars over my head.
Willie looked at his feet and mumbled.
I don't even have any normal powers.
You do have a superpower, or you wouldn't be here. Now, we need a simple yes or no. Will you join us? If you say yes, we will transport you into Metropolis. If you say no,
it's back to your locker in Townsfield.
Willie took 2 seconds to make up his mind.
When do I leave for Metropolis?
Congratulations. First, the ground rules. You are never to mention your superhero career to anyone in your dimension. When your career as a superhero ends, you will be permanently returned to your dimension.
When it ends? Don't I get immortality or something?
No, superpowers are a phase you grow out of, often before your 30th birthday.
The coolest thing ever, and I can't tell anyone why.
There was an annoyed sigh, and another voice said,
Because too many superheroes started blabbing to people like Stan Lee. Now even ordinary mortals know about Metropolis. It is our home, and it really is being attacked by evil villains. If they discover we are recruiting superheroes from your dimension, they will start pulling bullies to assist them.
Fine, I promise. Now, when do I...
Blammo!
Willy materialized behind an industrial metal desk inside the office of a bank. Overhead lights flickered and reflected off the polished marble floor. Deposit slips floated in the air like snowflakes. Next to him crouched an older teen in Oakley gargoyle shades, glinting like sunlight on snow, vibrant blue ski shorts fluttering, a red cape billowing as if he might take flight. His sun-bleached hair swayed like surf, mirroring his confidence. He gripped a neon-green snowboard like a shield. The boy looked at him.
Yo, watch my back!
Me?
Willy looked around for someone else.
Why would you pick me to help you?
The teen eyed him.
Colorful tights and pointy shoes. You're either a superhero or pick the wrong day to cosplay as one.
Willy glanced down and noticed he was wearing an all-green spandex outfit with a big, yellow letter W on his chest. He resembled the Jolly Green Giant sidekick Sprout from the TV commercials. A powerful male voice boomed like thunder from across the bank.
I am Kinetico. Bow before my unstoppable powers.
His diabolical laugh sent shivers down Willy's spine. Willy and the older boy popped their heads over the desk. Kinetico was dressed head to toe in space-age silver foil clothing. He wore armbands that shot translucent beams used to lift people and desks into the air and crash them together. The older boy cupped his hands in front of him and conjured snowballs out of thin air. Dozens of the icy missiles dropped into a pile. He tossed one to Willy.
Whoa, that's cool. How'd you do that?
I'm Powder Shredder. I'm all about cool. Making snow is my superpower.
He popped his head up, sighted Kinetico, and then dropped back down.
When I say go, you whip these at him. I'll plow into him and take him out like an avalanche.
I'm, terrible at throwing stuff.
Don't need to hit him. Just distract him.
He tousled Willy's dark hair, making it fall into his eyes, then said,
Ready? Go!
Willy lobbed snowballs as the other boy leaped over the desk. He threw down his snowboard and sprayed snow from his fingertips. Riding the trail of snow, he cut across the bank, shouting,
I'm Powder Shredder, and your days of crime are over.
He swooshed around behind Kinetico and showered him with a spray of snow powder from his board. He spun around to make another pass when a beam from Kinetico stopped him cold. Powder Shredder looked at Willy, voice squeaking as he tried to speak.
Yo, little. Help.
Willy hunkered behind the desk, his heart racing while Kinetico held Powder Shredder in his grip. The older boy struggled against the weight of the villain's kinetic energy. Panic surged through Willy, but so did a spark of determination. He hefted a large snowball and shouted, faking bravery.
Release him or suffer my wrath.
Kinetico smirked.
Ha! Your pathetic throws couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
He laughed, doubling over with amusement as he waved Willy off. A fire sparked in Willy's chest. Despite the mockery, he squared his shoulders.
Just watch me.
Summoning every ounce of energy he could muster, he scooped up a snowball, clenched it tight, and blasted it toward Kinetico with all his might. The snowball flew straight as an arrow with surprising velocity. Willy's gaze followed its trajectory. A trajectory nowhere near where he'd been aiming. The snowball whooshed past Powder's red cape like a rogue comet and disappeared into the rubble. Kinetico erupted into hysterical laughter.
Is that your terrifying fury?
Powder Shredder was choking to death as the air was being crushed from his lungs. Willy had to do something, but what? He was the perpetual underdog facing off against a supervillain. Last week's brazen moment against his personal villain flashed back. On his way to the cafeteria, Bobby Rufnicki lunged from a doorway, slamming Willy against the wall and demanding his lunch money. Desperate, Willy jammed his fingers in his mouth, then gave Bobby a wet Willy. The bully screamed and fled while swatting at his ears. Willy had always been invisible to most people around him, and Kinetico acted no different. While Kinetico's attention was locked on Powder, it took Willy little effort to sneak up behind the villain. He licked both fingers and then jammed both spit-wet fingers into Kinetico's ears. Kinetico girly screamed and thrashed around, dropping everything he had lifted with his magnetic beams.
That's disgusting. What's wrong with you?
The villain clawed at his ears, desperate to remove the spit.
I can't. Get it! Out!
Powder Shredder, free of the beam, whacked Kinetico over the head with his snowboard. Kinetico fell down unconscious. Powder grinned, still trying to catch his breath.
Dude, pretending to have lousy aim to throw him off. Brilliant. Next level thinking.
He knelt to bind Kinetico's hands together.
What's your superhero name?
I don't have a superhero name. I don't even have any superpowers.
Willy wiped his fingers on his pants and stuck out his hand.
I'm Willy Wormsley. I just appeared here.
What was that thing you just did?
It's called a Wet Willy, but it's not named after me.
That was amazing. From now on, you're Wet Willy Wormsley, fighting villains with your super? No. Your Atomic Wet Willy?
But I didn't really do anything.
Didn't do anything? You incapacitated Kinetico, one of the meanest supervillains the city has ever known. Dude, it's not the talent that makes a superhero, either super or heroic.
Striking a heroic pose as he hovered in the air on his snowboard, he said,
It's standing up for what is right, and using the talent you have to the best of your ability. Whatever the talent.
Powder Shredder notified the bank employees they were safe and handed Kinetico to the bank guards. He exited the building to cheers. Then the crowd turned to shower praise on Willy. Willy's chest swelled and he felt 10 feet tall.
He's right. I am special.
He ran after Powder Shredder.
Wait up for me.
You have a Batmobile or Wonder Jet or something? I can't fly or shoot webs, and these legs weren't made for running.
You can't fly? Bummer. I'll take the bus with you then. Superheroes get free bus fare. I'll take you to the Super Mall-Mart, hook you up with a rad skateboard.
I can't skateboard.
No problemo. A wicked BMX bicycle then.
Feeling his pockets, Willy gave Powder an apologetic look.
I don't have any money.
You really are new to being a superhero.
15 minutes ago, I was in a dark room where some old people in cloaks teleported me into the bank.
Rad, the Watchers finally decided to make me a mentor. Stick close. I'll teach you everything you need to know.
Willy marveled at his change of fortune. An hour ago, he felt like a nobody, and now he was battling evil with the spirit of a true hero. The dynamic duo reached the bus stop and hopped the bus already waiting for them. From their perch in between dimensions, the Society of Watchers looked down with pride as Wet Willy Wormsley rode off into the sunset to start his supervillain thwarting career.
Time is precious and limited. I hope you found this story worthy of your time. For more ebooks and audiobooks by this author, visit www.neuralsplice.com.